close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham County, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport Podcast. My name is Jack McCarran of the Southern Star, and I'm joined as always by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarty. Before we kick things off, I'd just like to give a gentle reminder to our listeners and viewers to please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. It's a Celtic Ross Hotel West Cork Sports Star Awards special this week on the show. Coming up in a few moments, we'll hear from the Ballineen Bullet, Phil Healy, who on Sunday evening became only the fourth athlete in the history of the awards to claim the title of West Cork Sports Star of the Year for a second time. We'll also chat to Christine O'Neill of Courcy Rovers, the County Senior Camogie Champions, were named the winner of the 2020 Special Achievement Award at the annual ceremony, which was streamed live on Sunday evening. Later in the week, we'll have a separate podcast with the West Cork ladies footballers who were crowned Team of the Year and speaking to captain Áine Terry O'Sullivan, Siobhan Courtney and Martina O'Brien. So keep an eye out for that one. Now, Kieran, before we hear from Phil and chat about the awards, there was some breaking news today that you're going to bring to us now, and it concerns the Irish lightweight double.
Yeah, Jack, we've known for some time that there was four skipperine rowers in the hunt for the two seats in the Olympic-bound Irish men's lightweight double. Obviously, we all know about Gary and Paul O'Donovan, who won a silver medal back in the 2016 Olympics in that boat, and there's also the twins, Jake and Fintan McCarthy. The trialling process has been going on for some time now, and just last weekend, the rowers discovered who's going to be in the boat going forward to the upcoming European Championships and World Cup 2, which is in Lucerne in May. And it's Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy. So Gary O'Donovan has missed out, so which is probably the big news out of this. But in 2019, it was Fintan McCarthy and Paul O'Donovan who won gold at the Senior World Rowing Championships and who also qualified the boat for the Irish men's lightweight double. So Fintan was in possession of that seat, for want of a better word, alongside Paul, because Gary had suffered injury problems in early 2019. But like I said, there was a very intense trialling process, and the last week was very close as well. But it's Fintan and Paul who've got the nod to go forward to the Europeans and to the World Cup 2 in Lucerne in May. But then there's still the possibility that that crew could be changed before the Olympics, because in June, from what I'm hearing, is that the final crew will be announced. But to be quite honest, it would take something to go horribly wrong in the next couple of months for anyone to get back into that boat now. It's not to say that it won't happen, because it could. Who knows, somebody could get injured. But at the moment, it's Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy going forward in the Irish men's lightweight double. And that's a very, very strong combination. When they got together at the Senior Worlds 2 years ago, they won gold there. And that was only their second ever regatta together. So the signs are very promising when Fintan hopped into the boat with Paul. So it augurs well for the medal prospects of that boat in the year ahead. So as of now, we know it's Fintan McCarthy who's partnering Paul O'Donovan in the Irish men's lightweight double.
And further proof, Kieran, as if it was needed, of the depth of talent that we have, specifically in skibbereen, it has to be said, for rowing, when you think that the main contenders in the whole island of Ireland all came from the same parish. I know we've spoken about this ad nauseum down through the years on this podcast, but it's worth pointing out again, because I even seen Kieran Cunningham from the Irish Daily Star, who commented on your tweet when you posted this news on Twitter earlier about just that exact thing, that depth of talent that there is in skibbereen. Usually for something like this, there'd be people competing from all over the country, but again, it's just people from skibbereen, which is it's really crazy.
It is, it's incredible. I was talking to Gary last year and he made a point. He said it's almost harder to get into the Irishman's lightweight double than it is to kind of compete against other crews at the World Championships. And what he meant by that is that you have three world champions. You have Paul, Fintan and Gary, who are vying for two seats in that boat. You also have Jake McCarthy, who is a top-class elite international rower as well. So that's four world-class rowers competing for two seats in the one boat. And if only we could send two doubles to the Olympics, four Skibbereen Wars would be going then. And it's worth pointing out too that the Irish lightweight men's and women's crews are coached by Dominic Casey, who's another Skibbereen Rowing Club man. And it's worth pointing out too, Jack, that it's not just the Skibbereen men who are making rowing headlines, but the Skibbereen women as well, because you've Aoife Casey and Lydia Heafy who are battling for seats in the Irish women's lightweight double that's going forward to the qualifying regatta this year. And you also have Emily Hegarty, who's in the Irish women's heavyweight group as well. So you have a lot of very, very talented Skibbereen rowers there who are setting their sights on the Olympics later this year.
Well, let's leave the rowing there for now. And of course, Kieran will have full reaction and analysis to that news in Thursday's Southern Star, which will, of course, be available online and in shops across the region. But Kieran, we're going to switch our focus now to the Celtic Ross West Cork Sports Star Awards, even, which took place on Sunday evening. They were live streamed from a variety of different locations. You were part of the hosting team. A very successful event, a very enjoyable event, I'm sure anyone who watched it will agree. So maybe tell us a bit about the awards, how it went, and then tell us about the interview we're going to hear now with the West Cork Sports Star of the Year, which is, of course, the Ballineen Bullet, Phil Healy.
It was a very historic award, Jack, for the one reason it was a live virtual ceremony for the first time. And that's because of, obviously, with the pandemic and so on, that we couldn't meet up like we usually do. So we took the awards online. But before that, we made the decision back in 2020 to continue with the monthly awards with the Celtic Ross West Cork Sports Star, because we just feel so strongly that the success and the exploits of our local West Cork sports people deserve to be championed and lauded and celebrated. So throughout 2020, which was a strange year for everyone, we had 13 monthly award winners, and it was a terrific year for West Cork sport. And it all culminated with last Sunday night's West Cork Sports Star live awards ceremony, and it was all live. So when anything is live like that, there's always a greater chance of something going wrong. But thanks be to God, everything ran off swimmingly. We had a great night. So we went live to the various award winners. We went live to Nicola Tuttle, who's a West Cork Junior Sports Star of the Year and a tremendous rising athletic star, who was also the women's senior hammer champion. We went live to Anya Terry out in Alahees, who was captain of the West Cork team that won the Team of the Year award. Karen Cohan was captain of the Courcy Rovers team that won the Special Achievement Award. We were talking to her live as well. Billy Good entered the West Cork Sports Star Hall of Fame Award, and Brendan Crowley gave us a lovely message about Billy Good. So the awards went off brilliant, but the highlight was that we were announcing the overall winner live on the night, which was quite tricky, because the winner could not know who it was until right that moment when our special guest, Breed Stack, read out their name. So what we had to do in the background, we had to enlist the help of some secret agents to help us carry out our task. And our secret agent here was none other than Phil Healy's mother, Phil, who played an absolute blinder here, because she kept her daughter, Phil, in the dark for so, so long. So Phil Healy's mother knew what was happening. She knew the moment when she had to kind of click in and join the awards. And it was all such a surprise. And you could see the shock on Phil Healy's face, because she wasn't expecting to win this award for a second time. Like you said too, Jack, she joins a very exclusive club now as a two-time winner of the West Cork Sports Star Awards. But she's a very, very deserving winner too.
And just to mention,
these awards,
sorry,
are based on the exploits.
Just to quickly mention as well, for any of you listening to this that didn't get a chance to watch the awards, we'll have a full repeat of the awards up on our website either this evening. Well, we don't know when this podcast will be out, but it's probably on the website as we speak. So if you happen to miss the awards, just go over to southernstar.ie/sport and it'll be there to view in full living colour. So sorry for putting in there, Kieran.
That was a good point, Jack. But like I was saying, is the awards are based on the exploits in 2020. And last year, Phil Healy had another tremendous year. She won 3 national senior titles. She set a new national record, a new national indoor 200-meter record as well. So it was an incredible year for Phil Healy and another important stepping stone on her development. And we've seen her kick on again this year. But before we listen to the chat I had earlier with Phil, it's worth just thanking a couple of people. And that's the Celtic Ross Hotel, who played an absolute blinder hosting these awards, as they always do. Helen Witcherly and Neil Grant, they left no stone unturned to make sure that these sports awards remain the biggest and the best around. Also, Paddy Palmer and JP McNamara of C103 bring their own unique touch to these awards in terms of promotion, what they add to the night, their expertise, their knowledge. And again, JP and Paddy played absolute blinders. And it's worth noting here, Jack, the role of Con Downing, our former editor of the Southern Star, who was a founding member of these awards, which are now running 23 years. And it was great to see Con involved in Sunday night's awards as well. He was he looks years younger since he left the Southern Star. The man is looking fresh and full of life, but it was great to have Con Downing there as well. So many people in the background have worked so hard over the last number of weeks to make sure that these awards ran off so smoothly, which they did. It was a great night. Like you said, people can hop on the website now and watch the awards. And a quick mention too for Breed Stack, who was our special guest, and she joined us all the way from Sydney. And she's easily one of the best guest speakers that we've had in these awards. It's worth checking out the recording of the awards just for Breed's speech alone. She was faultless, and we're just delighted that Breed Stack came on board to help us out as well. And it was Breed Stack who announced Phil Healy as the winner. We're going to hear from Phil Healy in a second. And just to let people know that this is a different sort of interview with Phil Healy, because we've had her on the podcast a couple of times in the last few weeks. So just to shake it up a small bit, we asked you, the listeners and our star readers, to tell us the questions that you want us to ask Phil. And that's exactly what we did. We're joined now on the Star Sport podcast by the newly crowned Celtic Ross Hotel West Cork Sports Star of the Year, Phil Healy. Phil, congratulations on winning the award last night.
Thanks a million. Like, it was such a surprise for me, because like, I had won it before, so like, I certainly didn't think I was going to win it again. And even just looking through the Star when I came home this weekend, because it was my first time home since Christmas, I was like looking who could it possibly be, and I thought it was going to be Lydia or even Orla, or then who knows with between the golf and the rugby as well. So I certainly did not think it was going to be me. So I was thrilled to be selected again. But like, as I always say, like, West Cork, the talent in West Cork is unbelievable. Like, and it's just so great to see the amount of talent on that list. And like, there are so many more people that could have been added into that list as well across so many different sports. So it is a credit to all within their sports. And then of course, you giving us all the covers that we can get, both in West Cork, but it goes nationwide and international as well.
Oh, you're a very deserving winner, Phil. Kind of the 2020 you had was spectacular with those three national senior titles and setting a 200 metre PB earlier in 2020 as well. And as listeners of this podcast will know, that we've spoken quite a bit over the last couple of weeks. So this week, instead of me chatting to you, we've turned it over to our listeners and readers to pick the questions that I'm going to ask to Phil Healy. So I'm just going to go straight into it. And actually, the first question is from me. I decided to put myself top of the list. So we saw by the shock on your face on Sunday night, Phil, that you were surprised to win the West Cork Sports Star of the Year award. So how surprised were you when Breed Stack called out your name?
Oh, like, I wasn't ready for it. I was in my training gear from earlier during the day. Like, my hair was absolutely glued to my head. Like, I certainly did not expect it, because even the text that came through with the link earlier, it was like, you won't be seen or you won't be heard while watching the stream. So I was like, that's absolutely perfect. Now I can just sit back and I can enjoy it. And then Mam came from another room to what I was in with the Zoom and plonked the computer in front of me. So I certainly wasn't expecting to be called out as the winner, but like, no, I'm absolutely thrilled to be selected for a second time, because I know you were saying that there is very few that have been selected twice. So it's an absolute honor to be picked in that massive pool of talent and get the award for 2020.
Yeah, you're now part of a very selected VIP club. The next question comes from Eilish, and she wants to know, what part of the world would you like to visit as a tourist and not be there as an athlete?
So when I went to, definitely I'd say Asia. I went in 2017. It was really cool. So that's certainly something that I would, all over that area, the Philippines, even Bali, all of that, that area is certainly one that is on my book list when we can, hopefully maybe post Tokyo, you'd never know.
The next question is almost a joint question, because Joe McCarthy asked it and then your coach Shane jumped in on it. So the question was, can you ask Phil what nasty words in her head she uses when staring down her opponents before a race? And then Shane jumped in and said, does she stare them down is the question.
Yeah, and I'd say Shane is right on that one, because like I'm probably like focused on what I'm doing, and like even in columns and whatever, there is an awful lot of like mind games that go on, because you're in there with say like six or eight athletes and one is staring the other down, but you can get caught up on that. But for me, I'm in my own world and like focusing on what I'm trying to do, because you will have people in there that want to intimidate another person and try get one over and get that edge mentally. And some people will be weaker than others, but for me, I'm 100% focused on what I'm doing and the what way I have to execute my race. So no, there's no words going down in my head.
The next question comes in from Jack, and he says, please ask Phil if she has picked up any Wexfordisms from training with Shane McCormack.
I actually saw this one earlier, and I was asking the lads, do I have any of their slang? But one thing that they always say is some instead of very. So like they'd be like, oh, that's some good. So that's definitely one that I have picked up. Or they say queer again instead of very, so that like that's queer good, like that's queer exciting or something like that. But yeah, they're two definitely ones, but no, there's no taking cork out of me, so they haven't rubbed off on me that much yet.
Good stuff. The next question, so, is from Mairead Maw, and she says, can you ask Phil who were her sports heroes growing up, and has she ever met any of them?
Yeah, so I think like looking in Ireland, like definitely everyone looks up to like the Dervas, the Robs, David Killick, Sonia, of course. But I always say Eilidh MacSweeney was a standout one for me. Growing up, she held the Irish record before me, and she was always one that would help me out if I had any questions. And I remember going on to a relay team. It was my first senior debut for an Irish Fest, and it was for team champs, and they were actually held in Dublin. So I was pulled in because I was doing my leaving cert, so I was the last minute selection coming in, and she just took me under her wing that day. And like ever from that point on, she was always there to help me, because like sport is up and down all the way. She has got made the mistakes, and she was always one that I could go to for help. And even internationally, I suppose Shelly-Ann Fraser from Jamaica, growing up, like I remember her winning Beijing Olympics in 20 or 2008. She was always one that I like looked at and really admired, and just that her bubbly personality and different things like that. But I actually raced her in 2018 in the London Diamond League. So that certainly was an exciting one to see her in the flesh. As well, and then to be in the same race as well.
Oh, great stuff. Next question, so, from James Hendicott. He goes, can you ask Phil how her mentality has been impacted by Corona training wise? He said she's clearly come out of it well. Maybe we could all learn how. So I suppose with the Corona going on, how has that impacted your mentality in terms of training, and how have you kept going?
Yeah, so at the moment, and even say from September onwards, for me, I had the elite exemptions, which I was very fortunate to have. So for me, it was kind of normal as such in terms of training. Like I was able to train at the track, I was able to train at the gym, so it was just normal day-to-day routine for me. There was a bit of changes. Say on Sunday we wouldn't have access to the track, so we used an Astro pitch in WIT Arena instead. So that was a change of environment for me for a Sunday session, but something that I just had to get over, because I had no other choice. There was no track open on a Sunday. Compared to pre-COVID, it would have been open every Sunday. But yeah, so once I had the exemptions, it definitely became easier. Say if you rewind to this time last year, I would have, it was the time where I had moved to Curraghcleugh. I was in isolation training on the beach. That was a lot harder because it was a different environment. There was still so much unknown at that point. Olympics hadn't been cancelled, so I was seeing other athletes in other countries training away in their normal facilities, and we had nothing here. So that was definitely tough. For even during the summer, Shane pulled back the intensity intentionally, but as the athlete, you're always like trying to push things on, and I'm like, no, Shane, this isn't good enough. This is not where I should be. Even though he had a plan in place to like pull me back, because we had an intense year after year, it was the perfect timing for it when things didn't count. So I definitely have a good team around me, with Shane, and like between physio, sports psychologists, and everyone is there to help me through it. But you just have to focus on what you can do day to day, to be honest. And like away from sport, it certainly is challenging because I can't come home as often, and there's so much risk involved with it. Even say my housemates, they don't go home, they make the sacrifices as well, just because of mixing and just not seeing friends and different things like that. That's what I find hard, but I'm lucky to be able to keep the training going as such, and the competitions as well.
The next question is from Martin. He says, do you have any downtime from training, and how do you unwind?
So at the moment, like, it is, everything is based in Waterford, and because I have to be careful of where I'm going and stuff like that, like, a lot of the downtime is, say, with the lads in the house and just like watching Netflix or different things like that, whereas before it would have been meeting friends, coming back home. So as such, that has changed now, and pre-COVID it certainly will be meeting friends and even just like more in the training group that we could spread out and go for like meals and coffee and go to the beach and different things like that. So that certainly has all changed, but look, we can't control that, and we just have to, I have to be very careful and keep my bubble as tight as possible for the safety of everyone, not just me.
Neil Grant from the Celtic Ross Hotel has chipped up with a question as well. He says, there came a point when Phil had to commit to sport as her career. How hard and nerve-wracking was that decision, and did her family support her immediately? Did they prefer she chose a safer career?
Like, it certainly is a hard decision. And like anyone, it's hard enough deciding what you want to do after leaving cert, not a mind changing halfway through, because you know the cost of it alone. Like, how easy is the move to make into a new course? Do you have to start from scratch and different things like that? And like, I had gone 3 years in the nursing, and it was taking its toll in terms of training and different things like that. Like 13-hour shifts back to back on the ward, night shifts, like training went out the window, you know, as such. And I didn't make this decision purely for sport. Like, I absolutely love the nursing and have a great group of friends still from it. I was looking at, like, when I'm 35, 40, is it something that I would stay in forever? Probably not. So why not make the move when I was 20, 21? Yes, it certainly was hard, and weighing up, is it the right move? And I moved into the computer side of things, and then I'm like, will I be able for that? Will I not be able for that? And you know, like, even now, like, someone asks you, what will you be? Like, you have a degree in, like, say if you're doing teaching, you are a teacher at the end of it. Like, I'm doing a degree in IT, so I could be absolutely anything in the IT world. Like, so it's just, again, finding what you enjoy. And I have found, like, I certainly enjoy the data analytics side and things like that, and try to be an ambassador in that IT side as well for women in IT. But no, it was a hard one at the time, but I certainly reaped the benefits of making that decision, and not looking back with regrets of, like, you have one shot at sport, and I gave myself that one shot.
Emma Connolly, who is the lifestyle editor with the Southern Star, wants me to ask you this question, Phil. Do you use fake tan when competing? If so, what brand?
No, I don't, because that is just far too much effort for me now. Anytime we go abroad, like, I absolutely love the sun, so it's all natural. Like, you'll never find me wearing fake tan, because between sweating it off and getting it all over my clothes or trying to get a streak free. So sorry, Emma, I have no tips for you there on that one with the brands.
This is a question you were asked as well, Phil, on the awards on Sunday night, but do you prefer to be known as the Ballinine Bullet or the Bandon Bullet?
To me, like, I represent Bandon AC on national 11 and international 11, so that's definitely where the Bandon side comes from. But like, growing up in Ballinine, like, all my life, going to school there, it's where I'm from, so it's certainly great to represent the village as well and be associated with Ballinine, because, like, yes, I went to secondary school in Bandon, I compete for Bandon, but I don't live in Bandon, so for me it's the Ballinine Bullet all the way. But sometimes they get mixed up, so I'll take either.
We got a question too from Glengariff GA Club, and they said, ask Phil whether she's enjoying the 400 metres or the 200 metres more at the moment, and whether she sees herself moving back down to the 100 metres where you hold the national record.
So in terms of the 100, I think it'll be more for changing things up and having a bit of fun. It certainly won't be a main focus at any point. In terms of indoors, I certainly enjoy 200 meters indoors, and I wish they would bring it back into a major championship. They had it there years ago, but they took it out because of unfair advantages and stuff with lanes. But right now, as we go into outdoor season, The 200 will definitely be the focus, and I would enjoy 400 meters indoors maybe more than 400 meters outdoors. But look, each has their own challenge and each is a different event, so it's good to have the options to change it up and not be cracking over one if it's not going to plan.
The next question is from Conor McCann, and he wants to know what changes were made to your training regime to step up from 200 metres to 400 metres, and were there less emphasis on pure speed work and more on strength and speed endurance?
So, like, from every athlete is different, and like, I even look at athletes that were in the training group, and if they're training for fours or training for twos, they could be doing something completely different from me. So for me, even if I'm training for twos, I need to train as a 400 meter athlete. That's just what works for me. So for me, when I was stepping up from the two to the four, there was an awful lot more of 500 meter, 600 meter reps. And that's what I need to do. I need to cover the distance where another athlete may not necessarily need to do that. But Shane takes care of all of that. And I do know my own training inside out as well to an element. And I'm like, Shane, this needs to be added in there now. And this needs to... come in at another point, but bike would be a big element of ours as well. And because of the 400 side of things, Shane takes care of all of that. And like, for me, it's basically just turn up to the track. He certainly would ask for input of like, what do you think should go here sometimes, or what do you think should go there? So for me, I'm learning along the way as well. But in terms of speed, again, pure speed never worked for me. Again, it works for another athlete. I get the speed out in longer reps. Like, I could be doing like 80s, 120s, and I'll get more of a high speed in that in comparison to doing like 20 meter flies. But again, that's just what works for me.
My better half wants to ask you, what is your go-to food after an event when you know you can eat whatever you want?
Oh, it's definitely, like, for the last few times now, it has been pizza. So definitely pizza. And then in terms of treats, it's ice cream or, like, crisps and chocolate. Yeah, they'll be the ones.
What's your thoughts on pineapple and pizzas?
Oh, 100%. And I know it's controversial, but it's always on pineapple. It's always on my pizza.
Another question here, Phil, is with the amount of experience and knowledge that you have in the sport, do you ever see yourself coaching at this level?
Like, coaching is such a tough job, and like, it's so admirable to everyone that gives up their time, because like you see other sports and like, you then see Shane, and like, he's a professional coach, but it's a hobby as such, because he's not paid to do it. And then he could go into another sport and he's paid full time, or you look at a different country and he would be a full time paid coach. So it's a massive sacrifice in terms of like your daily life and family life and different things like that. So I don't know, would I be a coach? Would I have, like, I definitely have the eye for some of the things and I will be pointing out, but would I have the patience is another story for waiting for people to click on. But no, like, you have to have massive admiration for anyone that gives up their time in any sport on a voluntary level and competing at the highest level within their sport as well.
A second question from Martin Walsh here is, in terms of diet, what are the absolute no-nos?
So for me, it's just like, a lot of it is around timing. So like, I'll just have to look at the demands of the session. So like, I don't need to be eating like bowls and bowls of pasta for like a session the day after. That isn't like demanding. So I just have to look at the demands of the session and around timing, fueling correctly. That is the one for me. But then you just have to be careful with around like all the sweet treats and stuff like that. And I see the lads and they are eating packets of biscuits and stuff like that, blowing my house, and they can just burn it off quicker than me. So for me, I just have to be careful on that side of things.
We got a lovely question from Paddy Duggan. He said, love to hear the amazing Phil on the influence of the home, her parents and family on supporting her from a little girl to an international athlete. The sowing of the seed in the sport that led to her excelling, mom, dad, her family, their encouragement. Let's hear more. So I think what Paddy wants to know, I suppose, is about that support that you got at home to help you along your journey.
100%. And like, Joan would have led the way, and like, she was the quick one, and she was known as the runner always. So I was more following suit with her when she was it was actually Johnny Caulfield and his wife Grania that encouraged Joan to join the athletic club after community games was set up here in the parish. So I just followed suit and kept her company, and I was doing the camogie and the football and all that along the way. So like, we always had the support in terms of driving us here, there and everywhere for training, competitions, flying abroad, like no matter what it was in terms of like physio, everything, like there was never no stone unturned in that point of view. And it definitely was hard as I went through the levels, because like even Joan went to college in Cork, I went to college in Cork, my brother went to college in Cork, and like moving away then to Waterford is like, it's a big move as such. So like I probably led the way in that kind of regard, where I wouldn't be home as often, so that certainly was more challenging for everyone at home, whereas like when mom is up in Cork or whatever, she can just call into us. So it did change in that regard, but they know what it takes, they know the sacrifice that is required, so it certainly was supported and accepted. But it is hard for any family when you are away so often, and like even mom was asking me, when am I going to be back again? Like I have no clue, like I literally don't, because of restrictions and safety and like travel and different things like that, and I can't be putting them at risk either from wherever I'm coming from. So like it is hard, but it is well supported always.
We're down to the last two questions now, Phil, and the next one is, do you see yourself going for another Olympic cycle, and do you think you will continue to base yourself in Waterford?
So I'm 26 now. The next one will be in 2024, so it's going to be a 3-year cycle instead of 4-year cycle, and there's, because of all the postponements of major championships, it's literally bang bang with major championship after major championship, and there's 3 of them in some years and there's 2 in other years. So I definitely do see 2024, and like I'm definitely only coming into the peak years of my career now and exploring even like the 400 more and pushing things out there. So yeah, I definitely do see you going longer, and it certainly won't be ending anytime soon. And in terms of Waterford, like it is where my training group is based, it's where Shane is based. Like I've done my time in Cork, and like it is really hard without a coach or training partners, and that is the missing piece of the puzzle. So I certainly will have to stay in Waterford definitely over the next few years. But like when you're working from championship to championship, the time flies by. So like it will be over before you know it, and like when you're fit and healthy to do it, why not keep going? And there's plenty of time for working at the end of the day.
And the final question is for me again. You've 2 younger brothers, Diarmaid and Padraig, so what do they think about their big sister being the fastest woman in Ireland, and does it mean when you eventually do get home to Ballineen that you can get away at murder and put the feet up and rest?
I try to as much as possible, but you know, like when you just walk in the door, like to me it's just like it's normal, and like I certainly would be a messer with the 2 of them, and like the 2 of them together are just like are comical. So there is an awful lot of messing that does go on, and we'd be driving mam up the walls with the messing. But like even when they were in school, they were like, oh, the teachers would be saying, oh, your sister this, and they were like, oh, just go away from me, will you? You know, so, or even like my brother works in the village, and he'd have them all coming into him commenting on it. But no, they certainly enjoy it, and they know what it takes. But like even Padraig, he's the youngest, he's doing his leaving cert, and like there's certainly an athlete in him. Like he under 12s, I remember he won community games all Ireland, and he didn't even train or anything. So hopefully in time we might take him from the GAA and convert him into an athlete.
Good stuff, Phil. No, I really, really enjoyed that Q&A with you. And I suppose before we finish up, just a hat tip to your mom, who played a key role over the last couple of days, because we had her on site to help us with the announcement of the Sports Star Award on Sunday night. And she kept that secret for a couple of days, fair dues to her. So how did she keep that a secret from you for so long?
I have no clue, because I would be like so clued into those type of things. And like, even when we were setting up the Zoom, I was like, mam, will you give me your laptop there? Because I didn't bring home my laptop. And she was like, oh no, it's not working. It hasn't been working with the last while. And like, I wouldn't be surprised with that, because mam and technology now like wouldn't go hand in hand sometimes. But she had the laptop set up in another room, so I didn't even ask any more questions about the laptop. But no, I don't know how she kept it a secret and got everything working and on time and everything. But yeah, there was no inkling at all from my behalf that that I was going to be the winner. So she certainly had it well hidden.
She's a career as a secret agent ahead of her if ever she wants one. So no, just congratulations again, Phil, you're deserving winner of the West Cork Sports Star of the Year award, and best of luck over the next couple of weeks and months as you build towards a huge summer.
Super, Kieran, thanks a million.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
Courcy Rovers, the county senior Camogie champions, were named the winner of the 2020 Special Achievement Award at the annual Celtic Ross West Cork Sports Star Awards on Sunday evening. Kieran, you caught up with Christine O'Neill to chat about their season last year and also their delight at winning the award.
Yeah, Christine is one of the stalwarts of Courcy Rovers Camogie. She's been playing with the club, I think, since she was 7 or 8. So she's been there, she's well over 20 years. So I suppose she, more than anyone, was so delighted when Courcy Rovers finally won their first County Senior Camogie Championship title in 2020. And to recognise that, Courcy Rovers won the Special Achievement Award at this year's Celtic Ross West Cork Sports Star Awards, which is a fitting honour for a team that created so much history in 2020. So she was in great form. We had a great chat. So let's hear from her. We're delighted now to be joined on the podcast by Christine O'Neill of Courcy Rovers, who were honoured at the Celtic Ross Hotel West Cork Sports Star Awards last Sunday night when Courcy's picked up the 2020 West Cork Special Achievement Award off the back of winning the County Senior Camogie Championship for the first time in the club's history. Congrats on the award, Christine. It's a really well-deserved award for Courcy's. When you consider it's almost 6 months on from that historic win and Courcy's success is still being recognised, what does that mean to you and everyone involved in Courcy's?
Thanks, first of all, anyway, Kieran. It's absolutely fantastic and a huge club. And I suppose 2020 being the year that it was, like, when it came to celebrating a county, there wasn't much time. And there also, I suppose, regulations went up. We went into lockdown 3 pretty much straight after we won the county. So there wasn't that much time for celebrations. So receiving an award like this from the Southern Star is fantastic. And I suppose it's a lovely way to honour the year and to honour the girls as well. It's fantastic.
Before we look back at last season, we have to look at your coach's career. We're just saying off camera there, I called you a stalwart of Courcy's Camogie. You've been playing with the club since you were 7. You've seen the good times, the bad times, the lean years. You've watched the club evolve. Did you always feel that you were working towards a day like last September when you would be crowned Cork County Senior Camogie Champions?
100%. I suppose I togged out for the Courcy Seniors when I was under 14. You were allowed at that time to tog out at 14 years of age. So that's when I started my career with Courcy's senior team. And I always believed that, like, I was playing with, like, stalwarts that time, like with Sarah and Rachel Maloney, you know, and they believed, like, we used to go for championship matches and there'd be tears in the dressing room, like, just that we'd win a match, you know. And, like, that belief has always been there. And, like, in the last couple of years, we've had great mentors and management come in, you know, like the likes of John Hines and Brian Hayes, like, who are constantly instilling belief that they're, like, that the girls are there, the time will come. And I suppose, like, being part of the group that did win the county, like, was kind of luck. It was going to be there at some stage. Like, I'm honoured and delighted that I was part of the setup, like, you know, that I didn't hang up my boots this year or any other year, you know, that you just hang tough and hold on and wait for the young ones to come through. And just, like, we've been banging on the door for a long time, and for finally to get through the door was unbelievable, and I'm just delighted to be a part of that.
You mentioned there about not hanging up the boots and coming back season after season. What in you made you come back season after season? If you go back to those lean years when you weren't in county league finals or county championship semi-finals and finals, what kept you coming back every year, Christine?
I suppose we've talked to anyone in Courcy's, especially the girls, like we just love Courcy's and we have the best friends. Like we really do. Like we have such a positive bunch of people. Like it would be very, very hard to hang up the boots, you know what I mean? And like there's this great camaraderie there, great crack, and we just keep on driving on, keep each other positive. Like going to training is never a chore. Like, and this year, like whatever Mick asked of us, like he just said honesty and effort, you know. And we were honest and we did give in an effort, like, and if everyone's doing that and pulling together, you know, it makes it a great thing to be a part of. Like as I said, like, it was never a chore, and it never is, and it's never a chore. And then when it does become a chore, maybe then it is time to put the boots away, but it's not at the moment. And I just love going down playing with the girls and being the best that we can be, I suppose.
And I suppose it helps too when you have days like 2017, when Courses won the County Senior Camogie League. I think that was your first senior adult title. That seems like it was a very important stepping stone on this journey you've been on the last couple of years.
It was. And you know what? It was kind of a realisation. It was like, Mick always says about dining at the top table, you know, and like, and we are dining at the top table and we were above there. And like, you know, it's time to bring back a bit of silverware. And like 2017, that was history in the making. Like, we celebrated that. Like, we had, and we had no silverware at senior level, you know, and we did celebrate it. And we still talk about it. We had great, great crack, like, you know. But then the following year, like, we came up short, and 2019, we came up short. And then finally, we got over the line in 2020, you know.
You mentioned 2018, and that was the first year Courses got to the County Senior Camogie Championship Final in a scar that were too good for you on the day. And I know I've talked to Sinead O'Reilly and Karen Cahan before about this, and it was almost like you were the rabbit caught in headlights that day, because it was all new to you, the trappings of a County Senior Final. But you learned so much from that experience, Christine, and you put that to great use in 2020. So that 2018 County Final, it didn't work out the way Courses wanted, but it was very, very important for this Courses team in your evolution towards becoming county champions.
Absolutely. Like, I remember being involved in Castle Road in 2018 when the ball was thrown in. And as you said, like, rabbit caught in headlights, like, there was ball going under our legs, it was going under our arms. Like, you know, when you're on the big stage, like, if someone gets stage fright, like, that's bad. But if, like, nearly the starting 15 are all just there looking at each other, like, we didn't know what to do with the occasion, you know, and we took an awful lot from it. And, like, Toggy out in 2020, they had to play them. We couldn't wait. We knew we're going to win. We're better than them, you know what I mean? We knew that, and we had that belief. And that came from management, and I suppose it came from within our own camp all the time, the girls pushing each other on, like, but we knew this time we had them, you know, and it was just a matter of going out and playing and putting up the scores and finishing out the match, you know, we had it.
What do you feel was different so in 2020? How would you, or why do you think all the pieces of the jigsaw came together for Courses and that you finally won your first ever County Senior Camogie Championship?
Well, I suppose, as I said, like, this is a long time coming, and like, there's people been putting in pieces in the jigsaw the whole time, you know. And I think, like, we just had the right collection of girls, a fantastic team that was there. We didn't have any girls playing. The inter-county girls were all at the training club, which was a huge thing for us, because the year previous we had 7 gone between the intermediates and the seniors, which is a credit to our own club. But when it came to going on to club training, there was only 7s and 8s sometimes, you know. So 2020, we had them all back, and that brought a huge intensity. Like, Ash Maloney driving it on a training, Saoirse, Fiona, Linda, the whole lot of them, you know, Keir Hayes bringing it up another level. And I suppose also then, like, we had, like, Mick brought in Fanta, and Martin Enright as well came in with us, and Joey and Kevin Hannah were with us as well, you know, and Shirley obviously was there too. So, like, we had a huge team around us, and they are out and out professionals. Like, we train at 8 o'clock on Saturday mornings, and they're there 8:20. And the same when we trained on Mondays and Thursday nights, like, they're the first to arrive and the last to leave, and they're never in a rush anywhere, you know. And like, we had girls, like, this year obviously we didn't have any weddings or nobody was going abroad or anything like that, so the commitment was there. Like, we had girls coming after doing 8-hour, 12-hour shifts inside in hospitals coming down to training, and it wasn't as if, like, whoa, well done, you're at training, you know. It was just taken as part of it. I said, right, you're here, let's go, you know. And Martin would take them and warm them up, and it was just honesty of effort, I think, just brought it all together. And obviously, like, during lockdown one as well, like, all them Zooms that we did, like, I don't think we realised it at the time what we were doing, like, but Jesus, we were building the foundations for a massive, massive win. Like,
there were some silver linings to 2020. Obviously, Courses winning the Senior Camogie Championship is a huge silver lining, but even smaller silver linings besides that. Tell me about Garrettstown Beach and how Courses used the beach instead of the dressing room. You know, you kind of used to meet up there on Saturday mornings, have a cup of tea and so on. Kind of, that probably brought you closer together as a team and even friends.
Absolutely. And like, we've been using Garrettstown for years and years. Obviously, like, you know, if we had a tough session here on a Thursday night, people would be like, I'm going out for a swim, do you want to come, you know. So it wasn't as if it was anything new, but what was new was that instead of calling the team inside in the dressing room, people feeling nervous, you know, or anything like that, it was like, we'll go to the beach, we'll have a fuck around. And it just so happened that every Saturday morning we were out there, the sun was shining. So there was something, I don't know, it felt very, very spiritual at the time being outside there. We were poking around, you bring your protein bars, you bring whatever, your cereal, your tea. And it was lovely and relaxed. And it came to the point, like when it was like coming down into the quarter final, semi-final, the counties, we couldn't wait to go down to Garstown to find out what are the matchups, who's going to be on who. Like, it was like when you just got into your car and you're driving past Garstown and you just felt relaxed, like knowing that like the job was done, like the talking was done, and it was done in a very, very relaxed manner. There was no tears, there was no shouting or roaring saying you must do this, you must do that. It was very cool, calm and relaxed. And like, we're all very proud that we're from Courses, of course. And to be able to call out a team on the beautiful Garstown Beach at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, like, happy days, you know.
Like you said, there, all the pieces of the jigsaw fell into place last year. So let's go back to the county final day against Inniscarra. Closing minutes, I think you're up 5-12 to 1-12. When did you start to realise, we have this, we have this?
I don't know, I was like, the string of goals, I think that went in there, like they just flew in, and it was like, what are, we're here, we're nearly over the line. Like, but I do think that day, the county final, you know, when like we were down, what was it, 5 points at one stage, it took us 15 minutes to get going. And like, in my own mind, I was like, here we go, like, are we in panic stations again, you know? But like, fair play, like Jacinta and Linda, like real leaders, stood up and like took the game by the scruff of the neck. Like, you know, Lorraine Collins there, like she has had just an unbelievable county final, and it was absolutely class, and it's a credit to her. Like she just bossed it like the day of the county final, and it was a great day. But like, I came off the last 15 minutes and I was on the side, like, up the walls. I was, are we going to do it? Like, I couldn't believe it. When the final whistle went, I ran straight down into the goal, nearly took Sinead O'Reilly out of it, and just started hugging her. And like, we couldn't talk, and we'd be the two biggest chatterboxes around, but there was no words. It was just unbelievable.
Like, you've obviously dreamt about winning the county senior camogie title before. Did it live up to your expectations when it finally did come true?
Unbelievable. And again, like, you know, the silver linings of 2020, like, we couldn't have normal celebrations, you know. Like, we left Castle Road, hearts and jerseys, like, you know, and we were heading for Courses, and we met at the bridge in Kinsale, and we brought the cup over the bridge. We were just hanging out of windows, blowing horns, but that's all we could do. And seeing all the people outside their houses just waving for us was unbelievable. Like, we went down to Barrels Cross, and people were there, and they're 2 meters apart with their families with flags. Like, I hadn't seen one of my sisters. She couldn't go to the match, obviously she didn't have tickets, and she was bawling and I was bawling, and everybody, you know, it was just such a happy, happy occasion. And we danced at the crossroads in Barrels Cross. We did the same below the grotto on Balnadee. It was just amazing. And like, everybody was out in the fresh air, and we were haunted that it was good weather, and it was just bonfires. It was better than being up on any lorry, you know, and like, people like dream of the nights when you win the county, but like, ours was a really, really, really special one for our community anyway.
You were so deserving of the West Cork Sports Star Special Achievement Award. And looking ahead, so to 2021, Courcy Rovers are top of the charts. You're the team that everyone else wants to knock off the perch. Are you ready for the challenge that lies ahead?
Yeah, we're ready for it. Like Shirley Maloney says, we've our mark on our backs now, you know. So like, we're setting the standards for ourselves, and like, we're driving on. And like, we, as I said, like, we just really enjoy playing the game, and we're like, the lads set the standards for us at training, like, and we're more than happy to meet them as best we can, you know, and roll on 2021, and hopefully it'll bring something positive.
In one way, so, Christine, is the monkey off the back? So, like, that pressure of not winning a county senior championship, you put that to bed now. Like, you've won your county championship, you've won the county senior title. So now you want to put back to back. Like, that must be the next target now. So you must be relishing the chance to get back on the field again.
I suppose we can't wait. Like, you know, 2020 was a short, compact season, which suited us. Like, we had a championship match nearly every Sunday. Like, it was brilliant, you know. So if the same thing came again, you'd nearly take it. Like, if you knew you were going to be playing championship after championship after championship. And yeah, I think like, people below in Courses are standing that bit taller, you know. We're very proud after what we've accomplished, you know. And I don't think we want to stop here, you know. Like, winning a county behind closed doors, fantastic. But like, you kind of want to do it in real style as well, you know.
I know there's a huge year for courses ahead. And I'm going to finish up, Christine, with a very unusual question, because this Star Sport podcast, we asked the tough questions, and we had you on the West Cork Minute last year. And one of the questions we asked you was, what question would you like to have been asked in this interview? So now I'm going to ask you that question here now, because you can answer it. So the question Christine wanted to be asked was, would you rather have fingers for toes or toes for fingers? And I think that's a question everyone's answered. So how would you say, Christine?
Oh my God. I think fingers for toes, because I couldn't be looking at the toes on my fingers. They would just freak me out. I don't really like feet. So I think I'd go with fingers for toes instead of toes for fingers.
As usual, the Star Sport podcast with all the exclusives. So, Christine, thank you so, so much for joining us here. Congratulations again on winning the Special Achievement Award, and best of luck for the season ahead.
Thanks, Kieran. Thanks, other Star legends.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
Welcome back to the Star Sport podcast. And of course, before we wrap up, we always like to take a look at what's coming up in this Thursday's Southern Star Sports section. And Kieran, I guess there'll be a lot of the fallout from the news that Paul and Fintan have been chosen in the lightweight double, and also coverage from the awards.
Yeah, we're going to have plenty of coverage of the West Cork Sports Star Awards in this week's paper. So it's well worth picking up as a souvenir for all of the award winners, their family, their friends and so on. So that's worth checking out. We also have the news that Keane Hurley is the latest West Cork man to line out for Munster. He's the Clonakilty player who made his debut against Binnetton last Friday night. So the West Cork rugby conveyor belt is really in overdrive. And it shows in our, with that 16-page rugby special last week, that it was shouted from the rooftops that West Cork is a hotbed for rugby talent. So it was very timely of Keane Hurley to make his debut on Friday night to coincide.
But not quite timely enough from some of our social media followers, Kieran.
Yeah, as good as we are, and I think I said it in social media, I can't predict the news, because Keane Hurley was announced in the Munster team on Thursday, and by that stage the Star was already on sale. Yet some people have took to Twitter to ask me why Keane Hurley's news wasn't in our sports special. So I apologise for not being psychic, but there'll be plenty of Keane Hurley in this week's Southern Star for everyone. So that's well worth checking out. We also have an interview with Charlie Lyons. He's the Inishannon soccer star who plays with Cove Ramblers, and Cove kick off their first division campaign with a tasty derby against Ronan Hurley's Cork City this Friday night. So it's a good interview by John O'Shea with Charlie Lyons. So we've loads going on in the Southern Star as usual. So well worth picking up this Thursday.
Yeah, as Kieran mentioned, it will be available in shops across West Cork and across the world if you want to pick up a copy online, because you can actually access the Southern Star. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the podcast before. On our website, just go to www.southernstar.ie/e-paper, and you can read the Southern Star on your computer, tablet or smartphone for less than €2 per week. So an absolute bargain for some of the best sports writing in the country. Thanks for listening to the Star Sport podcast.
And you can do you could do that from the comfort of your own sitting room. You don't have to get off your arse, and you can read the Southern Star Sports section, which is ingenious.
Yeah, if you're spending time scrolling on your phone anyway, why not scroll through 16 pages of brilliant West Cork sport, or however many pages are in the sports section this week. Thanks for listening to the Star Sport podcast. We'll be back at the same time. Oh no, I always make this mistake when we have a second podcast coming out this week, because I just read straight from the script like Ron Burgundy. I'll read whatever is on the teleprompter. But there is another podcast coming this week. We're going to chat to three members of the West Cork Ladies after they were named Team of the Year at the Sports Awards. So keep an eye out for that. Probably on Wednesday, I'd imagine, we'll get that one out. So keep your eyes peeled. If you enjoy these shows, we'll finally wrap up. Please make sure to rate, review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Slán tomhú.